The biggest news, I think, of the year thus far, Ryan, just broke.
Yes.
What is it? Lay it on me. I can't even formulate the words. I'm so stoked about it.
The news is Interpol has detained Cyril Abiteboul so that he could finally get his tattoo.
Yeah, finally. We've got a payoff on the Cyril Abiteboul tattoo bet.
This guy is a f***ing joke.
With 5 laps remaining, so we need to keep this pace up.
Hey man, don't talk to me through the corners. He just went off.
Going to retirement. Sorry, man, I'm vomiting. Going here, I'm vomiting. I'm getting drunk.
Understood. Bump.
This is Purple Sector, Helmut and Rye Guy on the mics. Howdy, Rye Guy. It is finally time to get back on track.
Oh, yeah.
The Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. This is our Saudi Arabian Grand Prix view.
Plus some big news.
Yeah, tattoos. A lot of news out there. Some mailbox, box, box. And Ryan, the hashtag for this race is hashtag Saudi Arabian GP. Yeah, they went full long-ass hashtag.
Don't you love it?
Yeah.
Aren't you super excited to be in the land of the free, Saudi Arabia?
The land of the sand, baby. Remember, y'all hit us up, 904-8-PURPLE. That's 904-878-7753 to hit up the mailbox box box with a voicemail or a text. You can also slide into our DMs at Purple Sector Pod on social media for the mailbox box box. Ryan, why don't we kick things off by getting in the mailbox box box?
Box 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 box.
Yeah, so some housekeeping here, because we took a little break around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We obviously would like to give thanks to our long-listening fans, our new fans, and our future fans.
Yeah,
and so hope you all had a good meal.
I'm sure everyone did.
Yeah, good hashtag Formula Brunch on Thanksgiving.
So Jenna hit us up. She is the Formula Brunch queen, and this is overdue, but she had a great, for the Qatari Grand Prix, she just went pure Asian. So she said, family affair as my mom, the queen mother, hosted hashtag Formula Brunch. In-laws got in on the action too, as an homage to the lost Grand Prix we had an Asian theme. Kung Pao, broccoli beef, egg roll, sushi, dumplings, and fried rice to witness a spicy championship battle. The Carlando love is strong in this family. I'm amongst Carlos fangirls, hashtag Landinho, hashtag Hot Young Studs, man. That one's for you.
Yeah. Well, Lando Norris is one of the hottest young studs on the grid. Is he not?
He is.
Yeah, he is. So,
the hottest,
sounds great.
Per the survey, he's the most followed driver by women.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, cute little gamer like that, you know? So, Rod, I thought it was interesting here. She mentions witnessing a spicy championship battle. Did you see, or well, did we talk about?
One quick question for Jenna about the food. She said spicy championship battle. How spicy was the food, though? Like, what is your family's tolerance? Can you go hard?
Yeah, like, I've gone to Thai restaurants and asked for Thai hot before.
And you get obliterated?
Yeah, you basically can have a couple bites of the dish. If you ever want to lose weight, just go eat Thai food and get Thai hot. Because you can eat about 2 bites for a meal, and then you have to put it away, and then you can reheat it, have another 2 bites, and then, you know, it'll take you forever to finish that pod Thai hot.
Sounds like a plan. It kind of sounds like a plan.
Yeah. It'll burn you forever, but you'll feel the burn, you know?
Love to see Jenna keep going strong on the Formula Brunch. She is incredible. In our season review show, I don't think it's going to be, spoiler alert, she's going to be crowned Formula Brunch queen.
You never know. I mean, we don't know what that envelope...
We'll keep it exciting,
we don't know what that envelope will have inside, Rye Guy.
True.
We run a very honest, tight ship here when it comes to the Purple Sector Awards.
Yeah. You want to read this next one?
Yeah, I wanted to just touch back to
when
she said a spicy championship battle, because I can't remember if we mentioned this on our Grand Recap for the Qatar Grand Prix, when Toto Wolff was saying, like...
I feel like
we might
already
bring out the spicy engine,
oh,
referring
yeah.
to the
in Saudi
the engine that they use charge from the back in Brazil.
Right.
So I just thought that was funny that he calls it the spicy engine. She calls the championship battle spicy. Her formula brunch with the family was spicy. So
I'm getting crazy deja vu. Have we read her message already on the last episode?
This one?
Yeah.
I don't, maybe we did.
I don't, I'm losing my mind.
Well, if
don't,
we did,
don't listen to me.
If we did, it was twice as nice. Yeah, let's move on where I got the next one. Sarah S.A. Bear 3 on the gram.
From Australia.
Yeah, from down under, hit us up. In response to the Aston Martin safety car being wrapped in a Saudi flag this weekend, this was the quotes then that she also threw in there. Quote, why are they bothering? Obviously, we won't see it on track since it's the Aston Martin safety car.
Very true.
Laughing emojis. Yeah. An interesting pandering move by Aston Martin. They probably have realized, like, we have to do something to get publicity for our cars because we never show up as the safety car during a race.
I mean, I'm sure
so let's wrap it in the nation's flag.
I'm sure Larry secured a big bag of cash from the Saudis to do that. They were like, look, you have safety
car. Well, Aramco's already a title sponsor, right?
Right.
The series and the race and the everything.
But they're not wrapping it in a Aramco flag.
True.
They're wrapping it in the Saudi
Arabia
flag.
They're kind of one in the same almost, right?
Pretty much.
They kind of work together, yeah.
There's very little divergence between government and royal family.
Yeah.
In Saudi.
I am very interested in this race. We'll get into it deeper. We still have more mailbox, box, box here, Ryan. Why don't you drop it on us, the next one?
Yeah, this is a great one. So this is from more_lamps on Instagram. He said...
more lamps, baby.
He sounds like a lamp salesman, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I love more lamps. So he said...
Have enough lamps.
Right. I want Mercedes to eke this out, mostly because I want to see Christian Horner melt down. He's been such a little bitch this year. And I want to see him cry on Netflix. Plus, maybe Hamilton will hang it up once he has all the records. Then Pierre can backfill him. So
that was funny.
Can you hit me with the conspiracy theory noise real quick?
Yeah, the backfill of Pierre, huh?
So, Morlands is getting wild with this message, first of all. Not only is he positing that if Lewis wins the title this year, he'll retire... He's also saying that Pierre Gasly will be his replacement.
Yeah, that Pierre would jump to Mercedes alongside George Russell.
I mean, that would be fantastic if that happened, but I don't see the connection, but I love it.
The other thing is I think more lamps will get his wish or its wish. Maybe it's an actual lamp that has that account.
More lamps. Are you a Mercedes fan or just a Christian Horner hater?
Well, I think that the wish will come to fruition because if he loses, you might see tears on Netflix. And if he wins the title with Max Verstappen, either the drivers and or the constructors, I think you might see tears from Christian Horner, happy tears. So
true.
You're probably going to get sad or happy tears from Horner at the end of the year.
You're getting tears either way, dude.
Yeah, tears for fears, baby. Tom Jones hit us up on Instagram. Was this the actual Tom Jones, Ryan, the legendary singer Tom Jones?
No, but a close second. Yeah, so he reached out because he's going to the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, which, first of all,
finale.
That's epic.
It's bonkers.
He's going to see the most ridiculous final race of a season probably ever if it goes down to the wire.
Right, unless, I mean, crazy shit would happen for Max to clinch in Jeddah. So
yeah,
more than likely that he will be there for an epic tussle for all the championships.
Yes, absolutely. It's still in play.
And the overtakes award. I'm sure he's going just to see who finally clinches the overtakes award in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, so but Tom's a great listener. He reached out about getting a shirt, a Purple Sector shirt and some stickers and stuff, and he just received it and he's ready to jet set to Abu Dhabi with his Purple Sector gear. So shout out to Tom. You're the man. Enjoy the race weekend. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah. Big shout outs to Tom. Tom Jones. Listen to some Tom Jones in the airplane on your way out there to Abu Dhabi. It's a long trip. Also, shout out to the listeners, Rye Guy. Obviously, this is that time of year where all the apps try and give you that year in review thing to get more free publicity, right?
Yeah, they're like, thanks for $150 this year. Here's
right.
everything you listen to.
Right, so Spotify is sending everyone those wrap-ups, I guess, of their most listened to stuff, and... We appreciate all the listeners. We've seen some people posting how Purple Sector has crept into their most listened to pods and all kinds of things.
Yeah, several listeners have sent their podcast segment of the Wrapped on Spotify, and Purple Sector is number one for a lot of people. So keep it coming. We love it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Keep spreading the word and keep it up. That'll wrap up our mail box here, where I got hit us up. 904-8-PURPLE at Purple Sector Pod.
Box.
Now so, for a more somber note, why don't you sting yourself here, Moot?
Yeah, sad news. A lot of breaking news, actually. Not a lot of news volume-wise, but a lot of news in terms of the intensity of the stories that have come out in this last week or two, right?
True.
So sadly, Sir Frank Williams passed away. When was this, Ryan? On Thanksgiving, or was it?
No, it was like 2 days ago.
That's right. Okay. Everything blends together once Thanksgiving comes around and there's not a race weekend. Yeah, I think it might have been yesterday even as we record this. So Sir Frank Williams passed away at age 79. Ryan, why don't you go through his numerology? I mean, the guy, a pioneer in the Formula One game. Basically the last standing sort of true individual teams, right?
Well, in my opinion, he's the GOAT. He's the GOAT of all time because he's always been an independent team, and he's one of the most successful teams ever. Obviously, his team's going to keep going, but this is what
the name will live on.
Yes, the name will live on.
Darlington Capital.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this is what he achieved while he was on Earth, right? So 9 Constructors' Championships. That's second all-time behind Ferrari, who has 16. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is crazy. Like, an independent team has the second most constructor sales of all time.
Yes. I mean, basically, Sir Frank Williams and his team dominated the 80s and 90s. I mean, they just dominated the sport. They won, I forget, it was like 9 out of 18 titles or something like that. They basically won half of the titles in the 80s and 90s.
And so many iconic drivers that have gone through that team.
Yes, absolutely. So they've won 9 Constructors' Championships, second all-time, as I just mentioned, 7 Drivers' Championships, because they did have 2 split titles, which is rare, as we have mentioned before. 756 races started, 114 wins, 244 podiums.
This was only when he was the head of the team, right?
It's been his team up until his death. So,
well, that's really the win-to-start ratio, even counting the Claire years?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, you got to realize that they're...
I know. The dominance is insane, that win rate for an independent team.
Frank Williams is a monster in F1. It will go underappreciated in, you know, the whole story of F1, but...
The other crazy thing about them is...
He swam with the Sharks and he dominated them.
And not only that, a lot of times Williams were the ones bringing the innovative technology when you had all these other big-name car manufacturers and engine manufacturers, right?
Yes, Nigel Mansell's 1992 championship. That car was like one of the smartest cars ever. The tech on that car like didn't hit road-going cars until 10, 15 years later. Let me keep going. So 244...
A lot of numbers. I keep cutting you off. I just did it again. Yeah.
So 244 podiums. Get this, George Russell with his P2 in Spa this year is the last one that Frank got to witness. So that's great, isn't it? I mean, isn't that a nice little bow on?
Yeah, he got to see the passing of the torch now because George Russell, maybe the future hot young stud, maybe next British champ. They're always looking to crown the next British champ, right?
Yeah. And by the way,
he got to see him podium in Spa.
He almost put that
under crazy conditions.
He almost put it on pole.
He could have almost won it.
Crazy. 128 pole positions in his career for Sir Frank. Just amazing. My last bullet here is best independent team ever. I mean, he ran through engines, right? He Cosworth, Ford, you name it. Every engine manufacturer ever he used. It didn't matter because it was all about their engineering. You stick any engine in his car in the 80s and 90s, that guy was winning.
Yeah, it just seemed to be a great man manager, a great, you know, team boss.
He was the man.
Always excellence at the Williams team for the most part in their entire tenure.
When I got into F1 in 2006, I chose to, like, we basically don't pick sides on this podcast. We've been watching F1 for too long. We just like
I'm on
F1.
The side of the stewards. They never make a wrong decision. That's my team.
But when I got into F1, I chose to be a Williams fan because they were just like the consummate underdog. They were the independent team that could actually deliver sometimes. And I'll always love them for that.
Yeah, and if you ever want to bawl your eyes out, watch that Williams documentary. It's time to revisit it now that he has, you know, sadly passed. But that Williams doc will...
I'm kind of crying right now, actually.
Yeah, when Claire starts
talking about her father and everything at the end. That'll make you bawl.
Yep. So race in peace, Frank. You're the man.
Yes, race in peace, Sir Frank Williams.
Moot, get us going here. This was
the biggest news. We teased it on the in before the intro. Cyril Abiteboul, Rag Guy, finally got the ink that he had wagered Danny Ricciardo for.
Let's just go back to the inception of all of this, though. Walk us through the timeline.
Yeah, Cyril Abiteboul, when Danny Rick comes into
February 2020.
Renault. Yeah. It was when Cyril was the boss of Renault. It was still Renault, and it had Danny Ricciardo as one of its drivers. They make a bet that, hey, if you get on a podium, Danny Rick, I will get a tattoo. And it occurred. It ended up happening twice, right? Danny Rick got two podiums, I think.
But it in Germany at the Nürburgring.
The first one was in Germany, yeah.
Yes.
And so sort of the talk when Danny Rick first got on the podium was, yeah, maybe it'll be something German themed, maybe something with a honey badger, maybe something for Cyril, right? There are all these talks of all these intricate, you know, hidden messages and
themes.
The focus
was, what will the tattoo be? But then the discussion quickly turned to,
will it even happen?
Where the fuck is this guy? No one can find this guy.
Yeah, because then Cyril quickly exits Formula One in the middle of the night and is doing whatever consulting. We talked about this a while back, what he was getting into on the professional side after he ditched Formula One. We had basically written it off, Ryan. This has actually come up a few times recently on the show because Zach Brown got a tattoo after Danny Rick won Monza. Danny Rick just makes so many guys get tattoos.
He's
that wasn't even part of the bet with Zach Brown, but Zach just said, fuck it, I'm going to get a Monza track tattoo.
He's like a sickness, Danny Rick. If you hang out with him for too long, you start getting tattoos and the Rickness.
Down with the Rickness. So... So Cyril Abiteboul, we were just Zach Brown got a tattoo before Cyril Abiteboul,
which we
thought
we talked about
point,
this before, yeah. Unacceptable.
Yeah, and we didn't have any hope. So finally, it just dropped about the same time Frank Williams' passing was announced that Cyril Abiteboul finally got the ink. Danny Rick put it up on YouTube. It was all over social media. Big news, huge news. I think the biggest news this year.
Yes, definitely.
And so, Ryan, we watched the video. The things
Before we get into the video, let's talk about the Instagram post itself. Danny Rick posted a video, posted a picture on his gram. It literally looked like they were tattooing his butt cheek. It was Cyril laying on a table.
On his belly from his face.
The camera was in his face, and obviously he's laying on a table. And I was like, oh my God, he's getting a butt cheek tattoo. Or an enema.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, enema would have been more believable for me. I just couldn't see this tattoo coming, you know?
So you said...
I'm shocked.
You were thinking probably butt stuff, not tattoo.
I couldn't be happier, though, Ryan, that it actually went down.
Okay, well, let's talk about the video then, because it's pretty wild.
Yeah, so the video is Danny Rick basically getting into his McLaren to drive through London to go to some tattoo parlor that's just in a guy's apartment.
Yeah, here's the thing about tattoos, okay? There's no doubt in my mind that that guy's probably a pretty high-end tattoo artist, right? Because Danny Rick's probably used him for dozens of tattoos, okay?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sorry. The tattoo people who listen to the show might not like this, but that guy's place, it looks like a meth head's apartment, and it's just like this tiny room. There's needles everywhere. It's there's nothing special about it.
Yeah, it was a very small room. That was probably one of the bedrooms in this flat, because there were flats, I guess, right? In the UK, not apartments.
Yeah, it was in London, right?
Yeah.
Somewhere in London.
Yeah. Somewhere
in
London.
That's the thing about tattoos.
Unless this whole thing was fake. Unless it's a henna tattoo.
That's the thing about tattoos. It's probably something I just can't get past mentally. It's like when I'm doing anything that involves needles, it's typically at a doctor's office or something, or a hospital. So I'm used to that setting. So when I see how casual, the way tattoos go down, it kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, well, Danny Rick's description of it was it's as if you're getting scraped with fingernails, just way deeper or something like that.
And for longer.
Yeah, that was his description of what it would feel like for Abiteboul. So Abiteboul was pretty funny in the lead up to
still,
the tattoo.
Still emotional as ever. He's the most emotional guy I've ever seen.
Yeah. funny, he was claiming to Danny Rick, he said, yeah, I haven't been watching, but I check all the lap times after every session. So that's
I'm
do
shocked.
You think he's doing that?
First of all, I'm shocked that they broached it, that Danny Rick broached it, and they put it on camera and all that. He seems bitter.
Yeah, but that's weird to me that you're once a team principal, always a team principal, all you want to see is the data.
No one really knows, by the way, if Cyril got fired or if he walked from Renault.
Yeah, or was forced out or whatever.
I mean,
yeah, because it was like we said, in the middle of the night. He vanished.
On paper, he chose to walk, but I'm pretty sure he got fired.
Probably, yeah.
Because he was running a team that used to provide engines for three teams, and it went all the way down to one. Not a good look.
Yeah. And the big reveal, Ryan, was what the tattoo design was.
Yes.
Because there, like we said, a bunch of shit had been thrown out there. In the end, it ended up being just the top half of the Renault logo, which it's a diamond, basically, right?
So it looks like an A.
So it just is, you know, yeah, an A without the line across the middle. And then this weird honey badger dimensional polygonal.
It's a fractal honey badger, basically. Polygonal honey badgers. You're right. Best way to describe it.
And yeah, but it doesn't really look like a honey badger. So Cyril is going, does this look like a penis?
Yeah, there was a lot of talk.
Because the polygonal honey badger kind of looks like a penis coming out of the top half of the Renault
Cyril,
logo.
Being the Frenchman he is, was obsessed with whether or not it looked like a penis. And Daniel and his tattoo artist were like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
Yeah, he's like, I don't know what kind of penises you've seen, but...
He's like, what dicks have you been looking at? That's what the tattoo artist said. He said,
what penises are you seeing out there, Cyril?
That was funny as hell.
And then the first mock-up...
Clearly nervous, clearly deflecting.
Yeah, and then the first mock-up that comes out, Cyril is already... Before that, he's on the phone with his wife going, I could interpret in French, he was saying like, oh, it's about 5 centimeters, 6 centimeters, right?
Dude, he was looking for every out he could get. So first was the wife phone call. He calls his wife. He's probably like hoping she says don't do it. Hoping she says don't do it, right? She doesn't say shit, apparently. Then he goes to the tattoo artist and he's like, it's too big.
Yeah, he's laying it down and measuring it. He's like, this is 12 centimeters. It needs to be smaller.
He said he wanted it to be half the size.
Right.
And the tattoo artist goes, dude, if I shrink it by 50%,
we'll lose the gaps.
The lines will blend together, you idiot.
Right. It'll just look like a blob.
Yeah. So to me, he was just looking for an out several times in the video.
Yeah. But he eventually lays down. They shrink it down slightly.
This is so in depth.
He goes top of the calf, the back of the calf at the very top. And then, like you said, he's making his faces while they're doing it.
Did you like his choice of location?
No, I
he's a hairy ass guy.
That's the thing. I don't think where he puts it matters, because he's going to cover it up with hair about immediately.
Yeah, they shaved his calf, and like in 2 weeks, it's going to be buried by his forest of body hair. Like, it doesn't matter where you tattoo the guy. It's gone forever.
Yeah, it's into the brush, you know.
He's just
into the bush.
He's a woolly mammoth Frenchman.
Yeah. But, Ryan, I mean, of course, Cyril Abitable is not going to get anything German on there. No Frenchman is going to get some German tattoo, right?
That's a good point. That would be a political issue.
Right. So, that was out the window. Then the question was, you know, now they're Alpine. Obviously, he was there during the Renault day. So he takes the top half of the Renault logo purely because he wanted to shrink it down, the overall
size.
I'm
wearing the Renault Alpine hat, by the way. Just shout out to Cyril.
And I don't know. That was the weirdest. It looks like an otter, the honey badger.
Yeah.
Like, you would not think honey badger if you saw that thing. I don't know how that came up, that design. But either way, I don't think it's that bad of a tattoo. I didn't think he should have filled it in, which he did, the logo Alpine.
I think it looks good.
Sorry, Renault. I liked it when it was kind of open. But either way, like we said, we'll never see it again unless you watch a video, because his hair is already growing and covering it all up.
Yeah, and I feel like we're not going to see him again for a while after this. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he is so disassociated with F1 at this point.
He's going back into the shadows, back down the alley, never to be seen again.
Yeah, I'm still hung up on the setting and the tattoo artist. So, do we even know that this is, like, Danny Rick's guy? Or was it just like, we have a small window to get this done. Somebody find me a tattoo artist in London.
Yeah, Abitable was asking a lot of questions to Danny Rick and stuff. My question, if you ever run into someone with a bunch of tattoos, my question would often be, how many different people have done, you know? Because some people, I think, have one tattoo artist, and it's like, I get everything. This is the only person I trust. They design everything, or I bring it to them. And then I think other people are just impulse tatters, you know? I think Danny Rick might be that, like... I think he said that before. Like, he just walks by a tattoo parlor and goes gets one.
I don't agree with that. I think high-income people have their guy. I think middle to lower-income people, they're just getting tattoos wherever.
You just it's like a Starbucks on every corner, and you have to go in and get a coffee. If I see a tattoo parlor, I just have to go in and get a tattoo.
But what I want to know is that Danny Rick's guy? And if it isn't, like... is there a dirty needle involved? And we're going to find out that, like, Cyril has hepatitis in, like, 3 weeks.
I think it is Danny Rick's guy to some extent. I'm sure he's given him multiples in the past. Because at the end of the video...
wouldn't that be wild, though, if...
yeah, he kills Cyril Abiteable.
In a month that Cyril's dead for this YouTube video?
I would definitely start a conspiracy theory that not only did Renault fire him, they worked with Danny Rick to kill him. That would have to be the only conclusion a reasonable person could draw. But I think it is Danny Rick's guy, Ryan, because at the end of the video, they keep rolling and Danny Rick tattoos a 3 onto that guy. I don't think any tattoo artist
who
didn't know him would just be like, yeah, go ahead, tattoo a 3 onto me.
No, they don't care. Those guys are an open canvas, man. Did you see how many fucking tattoos that guy had?
Yeah, almost as many as Danny Rick.
Like, the only thing that was spared was his eyeballs, basically.
You never know. Might be on the inside of the lids, you know?
That's true.
We finally got the Cyril Abiteable tattoo. So basically, that's our closing. I kind of jumped the gun with this thing. We should have given it a proper send-off, Ryan. Big ups, as long as it's not a henna tattoo, to Cyril.
Right. Why don't you sting again? Because now we're lost on the headline. Sting it. Nikita Mazepin's father bought him a new chassis. Moot, we're finally getting all the details about... this chassis that was talked about so much.
Yeah, this is so wild. It's an insane story, actually. Like, if you don't think that Mr. Mazepin is going to be buying a team soon, the guy, not only meddling at the levels of Larry Stroll, where Larry just wanted to have a microphone and headphones, when he was at Williams, right? Mm-hmm. Where he was basically next to Claire bitching at her about his son. I mean, Mr. Mazepin is at a whole nother level here.
Yeah, so here's what's crazy. We were speculating on this before. When we heard that Nikita got a new chassis, we were like, wait, doesn't that team have no money? It took them half a season to get Mick a new seat. How is he getting a new chassis? Now we know. The billionaire father of Nikita Mazepin bought the chassis. It's kind of a big story, in my opinion, because it's just Playboy money. Getting splashed on that team.
And do you think
for no results, by the way.
Don't you think it would be better served going towards the development of next year's car rather than, like, my son wants a new chassis in 2021?
No, because this is actually, like, in respects to Gene Haas, it puts him in the green, right? He's selling a chassis to a guy.
Oh, yeah. So you're saying he's giving him the marked-up chassis.
The team's making money.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So here's
we have chassis here. We got a Black Friday deal on chassis. Do you think you bought another one on Black Friday? Cyber Monday?
Yeah, that's a good point. Haas, chassis, 50% off on Cyber Monday. So get this, Moon. They installed it after the summer break. So that would have been what, after Silverstone? Yes.
Yeah.
He destroyed it in Qatar, okay? And by the way, he was slower than Mick for the most part after the new chassis anyways. Yeah. But this is the funniest part, okay? So... he destroyed it in Qatar, so he has to go back to the old one. The old one is Roman Grosjean's last chassis from last year.
The one from the wreck in Bahrain?
That's how ghetto Haas is this year. They're using whatever they have from last year. They're spending no money. And by the way, this quote...
they're just limping into to the new regs.
Yeah, and this is the quote that just blew my mind from the article. So Nikita Mazepin, his father, is worth multiple billions of dollars, which is insane. And this is what he had to say about his dad buying him the chassis for Haas. He says, "Very few people know that when I was born, I was still in a poor family, and my father comes from an even poorer family."
Isn't Nikita like 20 years old?
He was born in 1999. So what he's implying is that his dad was poor in 1999, and in 2021, he's worth $3 billion. Yeah. What an idiot. What is he talking about?
Well, his dad might have found it in the seat cushions, the sofa cushions, you know?
No.
Found a couple billion in there.
He's full of shit. Why does he even try and downplay this whole, you know, fact that his dad's a billionaire and he's a pay driver? Like, what? Why even try?
I don't know. I think he's starting to spin out of control in the media, at least, right?
But
he's been spinning
so
on track. But I think
poorly.
Now it's this pressure of typically he's probably been able to always be in a better team with decent equipment or buy his way into the best teams.
That's true.
On his way up.
That's definitely
and
true.
And I think this is the first time he's hitting a wall because, as you mentioned, Haas is racing with equipment from years ago, old garbage chassis, etc. So
yeah, I agree.
And the pressure from the media, the social media, etc. I think he's just spinning on and off track now, you know, spinning out.
I agree. Make no mistake, he is garbage as far as being fast. If you put him in the best team, whoever his teammate is will smoke him. He is not good. He's not good enough for F1.
Yeah, it's always tough to judge guys in the backest of the back markers, but all you can do really is compare them to their teammates. And for sure, he has not performed admirably against Mick Schumacher in that Haas.
I just can't get over that quote. Very few people know that when I was born, I was still in a poor family. What does that even? What does still in a poor family mean?
Yeah, that makes it sound like the family is poor now.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy. The the rags to riches story. Nikita Mazepin.
Yeah. Chassis to riches. So, Ragat, this next one isn't really like a news story, but this is, we just have to touch on a conspiracy theory before we get into our race preview.
A lot of conspiracy theories
flying around the episode today. The big conspiracy theory right now is the wind tunnel conspiracy theory. So,
I love this theory.
Yeah, the new regs will, based on finishing order, they want to create more parity, right? So, you will have reduced time, wind tunnel time allowed in developing future cars and testing future cars and components.
Based on where you finish in the Constructors' Championship.
So if you win the Constructors, you will have 70% of the allotted time to all the other teams. Second is 75% of that time. Third, 80%.
It's a sliding scale.
Right. And then 10th place, you'll have 150. So you get a bonus if you're at the back. But 70% is a pretty big ding.
Oh, yeah.
For first, right?
Yes.
And a lot of conspiracy theories are that both Red Bull and Mercedes will go whole hog for the drivers, because if they get second in the Constructors, that just means they get a little bonus wind tunnel time, which might be more beneficial going forward than the driver's title, which we've said we think has now usurped the Constructors' title because of the marketing angle.
Right. And I want to know how much you buy into that. Do you believe that either of them would willingly throw away the Constructors if it's there for the taking? Like, don't think about the drivers. If the Constructors' Championship is there for the taking, do you think either Red Bull or Mercedes would willingly throw it away to avoid that penalty?
I feel like it's always tough to tell.
I say no.
It's always tough to tell because I think they're always going to go for the best positions for both their drivers. And then,
well, of course,
Layden, right, because that's what I'm saying. It's hard, I think, to manufacture one or the other without getting the other, right? If you're doing well in the drivers, more than likely you're going to be doing better than the other team in the Constructors.
If it comes down to it in the last race in Abu Dhabi and the Constructors' Championship is there for the taking for Mercedes, they will absolutely go for it. Mercedes makes cars. That's a big marketing opportunity. Red Bull does not make cars. They don't give a fuck if they win the Constructors' Championship.
Here's the
scenario. They want to win the Drivers' Championship.
Here's a scenario one of the only ones I can see where maybe one of those two teams would show their true colors with, are they willing to sacrifice the Constructors for the drivers? If, for example, if you have Max in the position that he's going to win the drivers by like a point or whatever it might be, and they pit Bottas to steal purple point from him to get, you know what I mean? And that means like Bottas is going to drop and pull them out of the Constructors win, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to play it out. I mean, I don't think they will knowingly sabotage the Constructors, because I think it's just going to happen one way or the other, right? They're going to have a bad race for one of their drivers, one team or the other,
right,
and be knocked way down the order, and it's tough to come back.
I agree. I agree on that point. I think they've had discussions where it's like, look, Valtteri is going to do whatever Valtteri is going to do. Hopefully we win the Constructors' Championship. Like, that's out of their control. His form is so up and down. Plus, they keep, you know, giving him engine penalties and stuff.
Yeah, it's much tougher. This isn't like throwing a game or tanking in a game in another sport, right? You have two races left, and there's a lot of points up, and there's a specific number of points that are out there for the grabbing, right?
It's a very fun conspiracy theory. I don't know how much the wind tunnel penalty, the potential wind tunnel penalty, plays in their minds about throwing it. I think that's a little far-fetched.
Just something fun for all the conspiracy theorists out there to
It's a 5% difference between second place and first
place.
Right,
it's not huge, and I'm sure they're already cranking on the wind tunnel. And they have, dude, I'm sure the software and the sims are so good right now that you can basically run a digital wind tunnel, you know?
Is it a plausible conspiracy theory? Maybe. Is it a fun one?
Absolutely. They're all fun, every conspiracy theory, in our opinion.
All right,
it's time to head to Jeddah for the hashtag Saudi Arabian GP.
All right, here's your weather forecast for the preview.
Yeah, we are now the official, we're turning into a weather podcast more than we are a Formula One podcast.
All right, so we're going to the desert, right? But believe it or not, there's a little curveball here because Jeddah is on the Red Sea. Most people don't know this. Obviously, your weather all weekend is going to be 90 degrees Fahrenheit, 32 Celsius every day, mostly clear skies. It's actually fairly humid in Jeddah. Even this time of year, in the winter for them, it's 50 to 60% humidity every day because they're on the Red Sea. It gets a little bit more when it gets warmer during the spring, summer, and early fall. This track is new. Nobody knows what to expect. They basically carved it out of the highway side along the sea in Jeddah.
And how long? Like 2 months, basically, this thing was put together?
I mean, this track has been put together so quickly, it's going to be a shit show, in my opinion. The surface is going to be awful, probably. It's going to be low grip.
Are they bringing a lot of support series there to lay down some rubber or what?
No, it's Saudi Arabia, dude.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people get allowed into that country, and not a lot of people enjoy their time while they're there. It's a 3.83-mile lap. 6.174 kilometers, 50 laps, 27 corners. How many tracks? I mean, we're approaching Nürburgring levels of corners. 27 corners is ridiculous.
Yeah, some of these new tracks, I feel like they create corners out of any little kink because I think everyone now is starting to go for the corner. Yeah, it's a very kinky track because I think 27 corners, when you see it, there are just numbers all over the place on sections that look very sweepy.
The track map is ridiculous when you look at it. There's just number corners everywhere, corner numbers everywhere.
So I think we're being a little bit too liberal with corner application here and at some other new tracks.
I agree.
Because, 27 corners on what is it's probably going to be the fastest in terms of speed track.
It's going to be fast.
In Formula One history, right?
It's going to be dangerous.
So you can't tell me you have 27 corners, quote unquote, and it's also a super fast track.
We'll see, dude. Who knows what to expect? 3 DRS zones. Despite that, there's only 2 very good overtaking opportunities, turn 1 and turn 27.
That's theoretical. I mean, that's the thing. You never know until we're out there, baby.
We'll see, but right now, looking at it, those are your best chances. How about this, Moot? Similar to Monza, a lot of throttle. 79% of a lap distance is at full throttle.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people comparing it to Monza, people trying to compare it to Baku, but I think that's purely because they're both street circuits, right? So I'm very intrigued to see how it actually plays out there on this track.
Are you expecting, we'll get into some more of the details here, but are you expecting it to be like kind of a shit show logistically because this thing was so rushed? And this part of the world has a habit.
How do you mean? Like, what would be the issue if the track isn't finished? What do you mean?
First of all, no one's ever run there before, okay? So I expect the marshalling to be kind of a mess because no one's ever run there.
I'm just intrigued also to see the fandom because pictures I've seen, they're already showing the paddock club. They make it look like it's been there for a long-ass time. You know what I mean?
But it hasn't. It's been there for a week.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm very interested to see how all that stuff works, how the fan the fan attendances, how all the setup is. I mean, this thing just basically popped up. It rose out of the sand, Ryan. It could be like Dune over there, you know? What are those creatures that are rising up out of the sand? The spice is in the air, you know?
The spice must flow.
Yeah.
Spice must flow. I'm just concerned about mainly track dynamic logistics. Like, you know, no one's raced there yet. It's a very high-speed circuit. There's a lot of walls. The marshals will be inexperienced. Even if they get the best marshals in the world to come, no one's seen cars run there. So
Do any circuits import marshals? I thought they're all like local volunteers. They do?
Most likely. What I'm getting at is like when something does go wrong, let's see what happens. But I'm not expecting it to go that smoothly.
Which would only make the championship and watching this maiden voyage in Jeddah more exciting.
100%.
I'm so excited, actually, Ryan. We only have a couple of races left, so that gets me excited. We have this brand new race at this brand new track that legitimately just rose up out of the sand. I'm very excited for that. And all the battles are hot.
Yeah, there's plenty to talk about championship-wise. So a couple more things. It should be easy on the tires. It's a new service. It's not high abrasion. The tires should be fine. Brakes and engines will probably be fucked. It's hot there. They're doing high speeds, heavy braking zones.
I actually am never going to feel like I'm in a position where I can say tires should be fine. We've seen Pirelli blow up in Baku. We saw
Pirelli's
the last race. Yeah, they'll always bring whatever level of compounds.
Well, this should be similar to Turkey last year, where it's a new surface or freshly resurfaced. No grip. Like, they'll be sliding around, but it won't be damaging the tires that much.
Fingers crossed that Pirelli doesn't make it a one-stopper.
The biggest thing is concentration, because you're...
Yeah, like you mentioned, that humidity crazy is a big factor.
There's walls on either side of you.
With the heat.
It's not like a traditional track. It's a city circuit.
Very fast.
Walls on either side. You're fucking flying. I feel like a lot of guys will get broken by the concentration this weekend. Which brings us to the most important bullet here. Aston Martin safety car this weekend, man.
Yep, wrapped in the Saudi flag.
Let's just use that to go into our bold predictions.
Yes. Go for it, baby.
So I've got a whole slew of them, as usual. Hummut has, like, barely any.
I have a couple I came up with.
Most of mine are wishful thinking, all right? So here's I'm going to go with Kimi Raikkonen to score points.
Okay. Wait. This is bold because... You didn't say a point, so he's going to finish ninth or better.
What are you, a fucking lawyer?
Yeah, that's your opening argument. I'm giving my closing argument. No, but you're saying Kimi Raikkonen will be top 10.
To finish in the points.
Yeah, all right.
So let me just go through my four, and then I'll explain them. Kimi Raikkonen to score in the points. Carlos Sainz to outscore Leclerc. Daniel Ricciardo to do a shoey on the podium.
Yeah, you can just say shoey, because he's not going to do a shoey if he's not on the podium.
And then minimum three cars to DNF in the race, to wreck out or have ailments with their engine or chassis, whatever.
Yeah, three DNFs.
Those are my four. So
Ricardo podium is very bold.
Yeah, let me get into it here. So Kimi, I feel like he's going to get points because there's only two races left in his career. The guy's, what is he, 42?
He's an old soul.
I feel like he's going to put it all out on the line for these last two races because he's done after this. And there's no better opportunity than here. A new track, a guy like him with his experience to sneak into the points. I think Kimi gets a point or more to meet home with lawyer language.
Hey, I mean, I'm just reading the transcript here.
I just see Kimi like sneaking a point this weekend because it's just a weird scenario. We've never been here. This track's going to be insane. It's probably going to suck, and Kimi's going to capitalize. Next, Carlos Sainz to outscore Leclerc. I actually have a thesis for this, okay? Leclerc is an aggressive driver. He's fast as fuck, but he's aggressive. He has a habit of finding the wall on street circuits.
Say, we can look to Monaco.
Monaco.
He gets it on pole, slams into the wall.
Yes, this guy has a pedigree for finding the wall. I feel like Carlos Sainz is going to have just a more measured approach, and he's going to do better than him this weekend. I think he's going to outscore him. Next, Ricciardo. Believe it or not, Jeddah. It's, you know, this track is in Jeddah. It's in the Middle East. It's not that dissimilar to Monza as far as the power and stuff. Way more corners, obviously, but as far as power, it's similar.
Yeah, corners in quotation marks, because I'm not ready to label all of them corners. Until a corner has a name,
right?
It shouldn't be a court, right?
Well, we
like
don't
all
want
all these iconic tracks. They have names for every corner.
Yeah, we don't.
You're
want...
telling me we're going to come up with 27 names
for
these corners that aren't real corners?
We won't. This track won't even be on the calendar for that long, in my opinion. 3 years at best.
And then they're going to the other track they're building,
Riyadh,
for
yeah.
the future
exactly.
outside Riyadh. Yeah.
All right. So that's. I think that Daniel Ricciardo is going to use that form that he had in Monza. And just hopefully sniff a podium here. If he gets it, we'll see shoeys. Everyone can party. He'll be drinking rose water, because we're in the Middle East, out of his shoe. And lastly, minimum 3 cars will wreck out or not finish this race because the barriers and the heat and the brakes and everything. I expect it to be a shit show.
Yeah, both of my predictions, Ryan, are on the shit show side of things as well. First one.
You have more than one?
Yeah, I have another one I was just coming up with as we were talking through this. I feel like because this will be so fast, long straights, very tight quarters, right? At least in the first qualifying and the second, most likely, maybe even third, you're going to have people going too slow around crazy, one of these 27 corners, quote unquote, and someone's going to come flying. I think we will have a wreck, a serious contact between opposing drivers in qualifying, because someone's going to back a way up, block off the racing line. There'll be some crazy traffic jam. Someone will get into a two or multi-car, more than two is already multi.
Where are you going with
plus
this?
Plus car wreck in qualifying. Just saying, like, qualifying might be a disaster. We might see an accident in qualifying.
Because of the traffic.
With car-to-car accident, not just going into a barrier.
In qualifying, you specifically
at some point in qualifying, we're gonna have a car-to-car accident. Yeah,
that's pretty.
That's a bold.
That's
one.
A fucking bold prediction.
And then maybe the boldest prediction of them all, Ryan. We will see an Aston Martin safety car on the race Sunday, because we never see it. It will be wrapped in
that
Saudi flag, and you will see an Aston Martin safety car.
I feel like the Saudis will pay Lawrence Stroll to have one of his drivers wreck out.
Yeah,
so
Lance Stroll.
So
he could pay his son.
No, they'll just
get a little extra tuition.
They'll just cut Vettel's brakes.
Sorry, allowance.
They'll cut Vettel's brakes.
Well, Vettel always complains there's always things going around between his legs. Maybe something will get trapped behind his brakes. And,
but yeah. I just feel like Lawrence Stroll, the guy can't turn down a deal if the Saudis are like, if you wreck one of your cars and our Saudi flag draped Aston Martin car gets to go around the track during the race, that would be good for us.
Oh, that would be very good for sure. I'm sure they'd love it. And yeah, I think it'll happen, Rye Guy. Bold prediction on my side here.
Let's stick your neck out real quick in the credit music.
Yep.
Will something happen in Jeddah this weekend to actually decide the title?
I mean, it has to be something happening to Lewis Hamilton then. No, it will not be the title.
What are you talking about? Anything can happen.
Yeah, but it has, because he's trailing in the championship. If Max DNFs, he could still win. You know what I'm saying?
True, but answer the question.
No, the title will not be decided in Jeddah.
Okay, I agree.
Yep. Thank you all for joining Purple Sector for our Saudi Arabian Grand Preview. Thank you all for listening. Remember, call us 904-8-PURPLE. That's 904-878-7753. Follow at Purple Sector Pod on social media. And keep spreading the word about the show. And let people know what they should be posting as their number one podcast that they had listened to for the past year. Hopefully it was Purple Sector. Right, Ryan Guy?
Oh, yeah.
All right, gang. Enjoy the race at this fresh new track in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia this weekend. I'm excited for it, Ryan. We just went through our predictions and what to maybe expect. But expect the unexpected, because it is the 2021 Formula One season.
Yes. Salam alaikum. Enjoy the race this weekend.
Yes. Thank you all for tuning in. See you all on the track.